Yeah.
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
I failed you.
We talked about the Marvel movies, their cinematic universe.
Yes.
Is it appropriate?
That's a key distinction, I think.
Just going to ask, is it appropriate to dub the DC films as a cinematic universe?
Good question.
We might be headed in that direction.
That seems likely.
But as...
I think it's, well, yeah. Let's say that it is, but with a caveat.
Okay.
And I'm going to go into that right now.
Yeah.
And I think this is DC's biggest flaw. Not only, well, they don't have a cinematic universe.
As it stands.
As it stands right now. Based on existing movies.
Yeah.
They don't. They have occasionally made reference within existing properties to other characters that are owned by DC Comics.
But one is not to assume that those references are to the other movies, right? Nor
they are to the characters.
Nor do we see any sharing of actors,
right,
between the films.
Right. That's correct.
You even have
existing properties that contradict each other within concurrent timelines. You have like Smallville, the series,
right,
which exists. Now, it's not a movie, so
sure,
it doesn't really qualify as cinematic. But, you know, it was going on at the same time that Superman Returns came out.
Yeah.
And there was no acknowledgement, placing them within the same universe. They were just sort of left to their own devices.
There were a few instances on Smallville of Superman actors from the movies showing up. Margot Kidder was in, I'm pretty sure she was in some episodes.
But she wasn't
Lois Lane, no.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I think she was. We need to look that up, but I think she was. But you're right. I mean, Smallville's the show.
Right. But I just use that as an example to say, like, there is no cohesion going on with these properties.
Well, the primary example of that is Superman Returns is not related, as far as I know, to Man of Steel.
Yes.
Man of Steel, the new movie that's coming out, the new Superman movie that's coming out, is a complete do-over.
Right.
From the beginning, origin story.
Right. It is, yeah. Now, Superman Returns was supposed to be...
blatantly...
yeah, tied to the previous Superman films.
I think Bryan Singer, he directed that, right?
Yeah.
I think he even said he viewed it as a sequel to Superman 2.
Mm-hmm.
So he wedged himself in.
Yeah. Yeah. So he broke up existing continuity.
Yeah. He was dissatisfied with Richard Pryor from Superman 3. He was in Superman 3.
Yeah.
And then
we'll talk about
John Cryer. Richard Pryor, John Cryer?
What? Who says DC doesn't have any continuity?
Come on.
John Cryer. That's a build if I ever heard one.
From Superman 4. Bryan Singer didn't like those two movies, I'm assuming.
Right. Well, so I think anything, he's in good company there. Not too many people did.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, yeah,
popularly.
Yeah. There's some good things to be found about both films. Miss Fratelli is in Superman 3, for goodness sakes.
Oh, yeah.
But he was like, look, I'm going to make the real sequel to Superman 2. And we'll probably get into it. But, you know, it was and it wasn't successful in different ways. Right. But as a whole, there's no DC can't walk out to a podium right now and be like, look, all of our movies are in the same universe.
Right.
Clearly. Which is something Marvel could do.
Yes.
Now, there's a potential for that to start occurring, though, because you have the Batman trilogy now, the current most recent. Batman as told by Nolan.
Right.
Bram Stoker's Batman. As told by Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
And you have now Man of Steel coming out,
mm-hmm.
executive produced by Christopher Nolan,
mm-hmm.
directed by Zack Snyder. And it's got all the gritty realness that you want in your superhero movies these days.
If you're Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're any moviegoer, I mean, we don't want that nonsense.
We're going to talk about that.
so where should we start here? Because
all right, I have an anecdote.
Oddly, before you jump in, while Marvel is in my mind, I was gonna say this, but then I checked myself.
Before
Marvel recently is the most successful in terms of making good superhero movies.
Yes,
but DC has some really, really good superhero movies in its archives.
Yes.
But I wonder, we should do like a count and see how many DC movies there are in, you know, in the history of film versus Marvel.
Right, in comparison to Marvel.
Because I wonder if DC has more.
I don't know.
Because think of, I mean, the Batman movies alone, there are what, 7? And that's not counting the 60s movie special.
Let's see.
Batman, Batman Returns, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, Batman Begins, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Knight Rises. That's 7 Batman movies off the bat.
Good point.
Off the bat.
Oh.
Then you have 4 Superman movies, plus Superman Returns, plus Man of Steel now, right? So that's mm-hmm. 6 Superman movies. Do we count the 60s Batman?
No.
TV special?
I don't know that was actually
it was
in
feature,
theaters.
Was it feature length?
It was, but I don't think it was released in theaters.
Okay.
Maybe it was.
I think also we should discount, and I don't say this like that as if they don't matter, but I'm discounting animated films.
Right.
Because we could say Batman Mask of the Phantasm, which was an incredible...
Arguably maybe the best Batman movie. Yeah. And it was released theatrically, but...
And then you have the most recent stuff like Green Lantern, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do Wonder Woman yet. Was there a Flash movie or just the show?
Just the show. But are we counting? Well, no, that doesn't work either. I was going to say, are we counting movies that were not that were based on DC properties but were changed? Like
right,
but. There really aren't any.
I think DC owns the Watchmen now.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can really count that.
It's a separate universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. So I don't think it qualifies.
So that's what, 13 or 14?
Yeah. 14.
I feel like we're probably missing some DC films.
Maybe.
That superhero films. So Marvel has Iron Man 1 through 3.
Three.
Captain America 1 and 2. And I guess, should we count things that are...
70s one?
Oh, yeah. We should. So
there would be 3 Captain America
okay.
movies. Well, we know they are making a Captain America 2, right?
Yeah.
So that's 3 Captain America movies.
2 Thor movies, because they're making the second one.
2 Thor, right?
2
Incredible Hulks.
Avengers. Spider-Man from the 70s, right?
That I don't think ever got released in theaters.
No?
That was TV.
Okay. I think. Yeah. Three Spider-Man flicks plus the latest fourth one, right?
Yeah. So four.
Blade,
three Blade movies.
Yeah, I guess you got to count those.
Punisher. There were
three Punishers? Yeah. Two or three. Ghost Rider, two of those.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Maybe Marvel's. Maybe Marvel's the clear.
Yeah, I think they have pumped out.
They've made up a lot of ground. I mean, for a long time there were no Marvel films to speak of.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they the difference there too is they DC sort of hit it out of the park right away.
Yes.
You know, whereas if you consider if we're strictly talking theatrical movies.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the first Marvel movie was the Dolph Lundgren Punisher.
Yeah.
And the which, first, I mean, is awesome in its own way.
In its own way.
Yeah.
The first probably critical and fiscally successful Marvel film was Spider-Man.
Yeah. Or, well, X-Men. Did X-Men come
before? Oh, the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
There's three of those.
X-Men came
plus
before
Wolverine. That. Plus the next Wolverine movie.
So five. Six, because there are four X-Men movies.
There's three.
There's the trilogy and then there's First Class.
Oh, my God. I can't even keep track.
Six X
related. Be careful the way you say that. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that is what? 3, 6.
So X-Men may have been. I think X-Men was probably the crack in the dam, if you will, and Spider-Man was the hammer that totally busted it down, mm-hmm. if you know what I'm saying, right? So mm-hmm. X-Men's kind of like, oh, maybe these movies can be cool. And yeah. Then Spider-Man's like, yeah, they can. You know what I mean? And then X-Men 2 was like, really, they can.
Yeah, no, watch.
And then X-Men 3 was kind of like, they could still be kind of cool.
Could.
But we're not talking about Marvel.
Right.
Well, okay, let's start with Superman.
All right.
Because that movie is so good.
Yeah. Superman as a movie, 1 and beyond just being a superhero.
Yeah,
movie,
yeah,
a
good yeah. It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
Superman 2 is a great sequel.
Yes.
But Christopher Reeves, I have yet to like a Superman better than Christopher Reeves
mm-hmm.
as Superman in the movies,
mm-hmm.
in TV included. Yeah. I don't think it's gotten better since him. And it also, Gene Hackman was a really good Lex Luthor.
Amazing.
And totally, he made that character his own thing. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
In the way that Heath Ledger kind of reinvented the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may laugh at this comparison, but I think Gene Hackman really reinvented Lex Luthor.
I agree. I totally agree.
Because in the comics and, well, I guess there was only the comics up to that point. You know, he was sort of this genius, you know, millionaire kind of guy and not necessarily comedic.
Yeah.
But the Lex Luthor that Gene Hackman brought to the screen was really funny.
He's charismatic.
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
a charismatic, like, grifter.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sort of exists in a netherworld. He's mm-hmm. not, he considers himself a criminal mastermind, mm-hmm. you know, somewhat comically.
Yeah.
But he's not running an empire.
No, he's not successful.
Yeah.
He is, yeah. He's, but he is successful in as much as he is able to, like, procure these missiles.
Yeah.
He
sort of stumbles
yeah.
into these massive criminal.
He's got an incredible sidekick. In Otis.
Ned Beatty. God love you.
Yeah. Mr. Luthor. Otis Berg.
Don't forget Miss Deathwalker.
Yeah, exactly.
She's great.
They cast that movie really well, mm-hmm. and you're right. As a movie, not just a Superman movie, but as a movie on its own, it's really good.
Yeah,
really well made. And it's I would wonder what it would be like for maybe a kid of today to watch that movie and if it would
yeah.
excite them in the way that I remember being excited the first time I saw it. You know.
Yeah. And I remember thinking like some of the stuff in Smallville kind of lasts, you know, a while. Like it goes a long time before he becomes quote mm-hmm. unquote Superman.
Yeah.
But going back and watching that stuff now,
yeah,
that's the greatest stuff with him and his dad. Like, mm-hmm. and those are some like,
to clarify, you were not when you mentioned Smallville, you weren't talking about.
I wasn't
the show.
Talking about the show. I was talking about the
when,
setting
in the movie when they're in Smallville.
Yes, yeah. His hometown. The one criticism that mm-hmm. I have of it is that the arc of it, you know, it. And I guess we should say flat out for this discussion
all
is
DC
spoiler movies. Yeah. He struggles initially. His initial, I guess, setback as a character mm-hmm. is that his dad passes away.
Right.
Pa Kent. And they, I think, could have done something really incredible at the end of the movie.
Okay.
Oh. With, you know, because that's what's sort of hanging over him the whole movie, and mm-hmm. it's not belabored, but you know this is what he's struggling with, you know, that there are limitations to his powers, right? And the end of the movie sets it up where he has a choice between either saving Lois Lane
mm-hmm.
or saving all of these other people.
Yeah,
and I think that's a really great opportunity for him to learn that that is the case he's going to have to live with. That,
yeah.
You know, that he can't save everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of him, like, maybe saving Lois Lane and losing all these other fronts and then maybe saying to himself, maybe it's better that one person, you know, dies in the face of, you know, many. Instead, he gets it both ways.
Yeah.
You know, he saves all the kids and everything like that.
Right.
And then he goes back and he spins the earth around backwards and reverses time.
There's a theory.
Oh.
That he doesn't spin the earth backwards.
Really?
That what he's actually doing is flying so fast that he himself is going into the past. And we are simply seeing what he sees as he travels back.
Oh. I don't like that theory. I don't think that makes it any better.
I think in the realm of plausibility,
uh-huh.
I'm more willing to believe that Superman himself can fly so fast
that he goes back.
Because we all know speed.
Sure.
88 miles per hour.
Sure.
You go back in time or forward.
Well, the
time.
Planet is moving.
Yeah.
So he just.
But he's going so fast that he's. So if you're Superman, you're watching the world turn like this, right? Like in the regular orbit.
Right.
Or regular revolutions. And eventually, as you're going back, it would stop and start to go backwards because you're watching time pass in reverse.
I see. So you're catching glimpses of,
what's
on the other side of the Earth as you hit it. Yeah. You're like, I've gotten around the Earth faster than you've gotten around the Earth. And this is where you were.
See?
When I got back there.
That's it. You know, I didn't think about that. That he could have... He learns a lesson, but then also doesn't have to suffer the consequences of learning that lesson in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. It.
I wouldn't have minded.
I don't think it's a failure as a movie.
No,
I just think that.
But it's a kind of a.
It doesn't fully complete that arc.
It's a moment in the movie where you kind of have to just nod your head and say, "All right, fair enough.
Yeah,
fine." I mean, I wouldn't have minded if Lois Lane had. Died.
No, neither would I. I think, but I guess I feel like that had it gone that way, that also doesn't really seem true to the arc. You know,
right.
I feel like, you know, they set him up with this, you know, failure complex mm-hmm. where, you know, he hasn't, you would think that he's going to come out of that and be like, I'm never going to let a person I care about die.
Right.
So I feel like, and especially given his relationship with Lois, I just find it hard to believe that without learning the lesson of valuing the many over the few,
mm-hmm.
without having that precedent already established, it's hard for me to believe that he would not save Lois first.
Right.
You know,
a younger but Clark would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. Had he been still a teenager or
right.
whatever.
He probably
now, I guess he does make the promise to Miss Tessmacher, you know. He says, like,
yeah, that's
I'll
right.
save
yeah.
your mother or whatever.
Yeah.
But, man, I think that would have greased it a little bit even better if he'd broken that promise.
It's interesting, the Superman, what the challenge with Superman is always that he is ridiculously powerful. He has all these superpowers, like unlimited. Mm-hmm. He makes them up,
yeah.
right?
Like, he could throw his emblem
into a
turn
giant
his chest
cellophane.
Into a cellophane wrapper.
The guy can do whatever he wants.
Right, yeah.
So the challenge is, how do you make that dramatically interesting if at all times the audience is like, well, he's never in danger. Yeah. And one way to do that is to put his loved ones in peril. But
right.
another way is to make the conflict more on a emotional level for him, where he has to make these decisions. And he, in despite all of the power that he does have, you know, he can't stop the simple progression of time, like, or you know, his dad dies of a heart attack or mm-hmm. something, and in the first movie, and you know, there's nothing Superman can do about that.
Yeah,
and so that's, you know, I don't know what, I think they're doing a good job promoting Man of Steel in that they're not really giving you a whole lot in terms of the story
yeah.
or what exactly Superman's wrestling with
yeah.
On an emotional level.
Although they do sort of hint at that notion that
yeah.
you know, you can't save everyone.
Exactly.
Maybe you shouldn't.
Which kind of well, okay. Hold on.
Yeah, we'll save that.
But I think that's one of the best ways to get Superman. You have to put the conflict in his sort of emotions and in his mind. Because
yeah.
physically, with unless you know, bring kryptonite into the mix, which is to me the most frustrating aspect of Superman.
Yeah.
In terms of anytime you want, like in the movies, almost every time he has to be in peril, kryptonite needs to be
involved.
There's
always kryptonite involved,
which is
yeah.
so grating, you know. yeah, so that I keep saying the same thing over and over.
Well, I think they carry that over into the second movie,
right? Where they
well.
Give him a physical
right.
challenge, which is other Kryptonians.
Yes. Well, and they sort of double it. You
yeah.
know, they twist it both
oh,
ways
man.
Because they give first. You know, he
yes.
has that choice.
Oh,
he's
God.
Like, okay,
so cool.
I'm gonna be a human
yeah.
now because I want to be with this person.
Yes.
And I just want to be normal.
And he gets into his. Phone booth, his crystal phone booth.
Yes,
in the Fortress of Solitude,
that little tube.
He, yeah. he goes up. He calls Marlon Brando and he's like, "Dad, I don't want to be a Superman anymore."
Yeah,
and
I mean, check
Marlon
out
Brando's
this.
Like, "All right,
check it out. Margot Kidder is over
yeah, yeah.
there.
Yeah, like she's
Look
here.
At her.
Yeah, she's interested, but it's too dangerous. So can you help me out?" And Marlon Brando's like, "Yeah, man, we've got." Basically, anything you want to do, we've
you
got
can,
something
you
for
can
it.
Do it.
So,
yeah.
These crystals are raising up right now. Just go stand in those. I'm going to shine a red light on you. You're going to lose all your powers. Is it irreversible? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, well, he does say it's irreversible.
Does he?
Yeah. Or his mom does.
Does he? Does
the,
she?
The
oh,
mother.
Is it her? Is it? Yeah,
yeah,
it's his mom
she's
that
like,
tells it.
Yeah, once you do this, it cannot be
yeah.
undone or whatever.
But it can.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I got a gripe for that one, too.
Clark. It can.
Yeah. That. Oh, that's Marlon Brando?
No. Yeah.
He's like saying, don't listen to your mother. It can totally be reversed.
She's like, it can't be reversed. And he's over the shoulder. He's shaking his head.
Yeah.
He's like, it can't. Don't worry. You can do it. Try it out. Try it for the weekend. Okay. Yeah. You're going to be okay. Don't go to a diner. Don't get into a fight. Don't forget that you no longer have superpowers.
Yeah.
That'd be a big blunder.
He never, at no point does he ever exert any kind of hint of arrogance, you know. But the minute he doesn't have powers, he goes into that diner and is suddenly like, I'm going to start confronting people as Clark Kent. Yeah.
But yeah, he loses his powers. That's a great moment, though, that he chooses.
Yes.
To take his own powers away for love, you know, because he wants to live a normal life with Lois Lane. He gets into a fight. He loses really badly. He can't believe it. He's right. Oh my God, I lost and I'm bleeding.
State of shock. Yeah.
Yeah. But then the Kryptonians show up. General Zod.
Oh. Where is this planet Houston?
Houston. And they meet the president, and they're like, that's the famous line, kneel before Zod, right?
Yeah.
What's his name? What's the guy?
Terrence Stamp.
Terrence Stamp. Yeah. I couldn't think of his name. So what is it? Zod, Lursa?
Ursa. And Nod.
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 Nod? Nod. Is it sure it's Nod?
I thought it was Nod. Or maybe it's Non.
Non. I think it's Non.
Non. Non.
He's so awesome. Does he zap that snake?
Is it him or is it the chick?
I think one of the other ones does. Yeah, I think Ursa might do it, and then he tries to do it.
Yes.
He's the slow one.
Yeah, he can't quite figure out his heat vision.
Yeah. But yeah, these three Kryptonians who were banished to the Phantom Zone.
Yeah.
They end up on Earth, and it's a big problem because they're not good.
Yeah.
And they're there to conquer. And Clark.
Yeah.
Superman? Of all the weekends.
Don't leave us. Those people, man. The citizens of Metropolis in Superman 2 are so amazing.
Where's he going?
Where's he going? Superman, come back. The guy who's trying to maintain a conversation on the telephone as he's being blown away by us.
Oh, God, I forgot about that guy. Oh, that's so great.
There are so many awesome scenes in that.
Where are you going? Superman. There's a lot of wailing.
Yes, much, much wailing.
Because what happens? He's like, I'm really sorry, Lois. I know I was like, I'm going to be a human, and we're going to be together forever. And well, until we die, because we're mortals. But I got to go be Superman again. And she's like, but your mom said you couldn't reverse it. And he's like, don't worry about that. I can reverse it.
Yeah, I got this covered.
And then he shows up as Superman again. He fights the three Kryptonians and loses
in Metropolis, right? Yeah, and he basically loses.
They beat the crap out, and he's like, "I'm out of here."
Well, he's not like defeated in as much as he is in the bar fight.
Yeah. You know? But
I mean, he's not bleeding outmanned or anything, right? And he recognizes this, and so it appears that he seemingly flees the scene.
Superman,
yeah.
Come back. I love, you know, there's a common thread here with like citizens in these superhero movies being idiots. But anyway, he goes back
to the Fortress of Solitude.
And now, the best scene in any Superman movie ever happens at that point. But go on.
The cellophane?
Well, the cellophane's part of it.
Right, yeah. Where he suddenly invents all of these powers, like the ability
to multiply himself or project himself. He does the cellophane trick, but best of all, he's like, he's basically like, you know, I don't want to fight you, and just don't put me in the briar patch, basically, yeah, is what
yeah,
he does.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
You know, whatever you do.
Well, he uses Luther to
yeah,
lead
yeah.
him in there.
Yeah, this is where he's Luther like, comes. And Luther's in a balloon. Let's not forget that Luther is making his trek to the Fortress of Solitude via balloon with Miss Tessmacher.
Yes.
Tessmacher?
Tessmacher.
Tessmacher, right?
Yeah.
And he makes it to the Fortress of Solitude, right?
Yeah. Well, he finds out.
Yeah.
He listens to the crystals and stuff. Because how he figures out.
Yeah, so he tells General Zod, hey man, if he goes in there, then he loses all his powers. And Zod's like, go in there.
Yeah.
And Superman pulls...
Luther, you poisonous snake!
There's a great bit of theater that happens.
Yeah.
Superman acting like,
I'm so frustrated with you, Luther. I can't believe you.
And he goes in there, and having used this bit of technology once in his life, and having only just learned about it a week ago, he manages... Do we even see how he does this?
No, he just like puts his hands on the walls and somehow like redirects the power
he
of the
sends
chamber
the,
or something.
Yeah, the chamber's power out into the rest of the Fortress of Solitude. He is safe inside of the crystals. And he comes out, and Zod's like, ha, 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 kneel before me now.
Yeah.
And he kneels, and then he's, now take my hand, right? And he takes, and he just, like, breaks his hand. It's a great scene.
That's awesome. Or a great moment. Watch Terrence Stamp.
He's like, and then what I love is that Luther's, he's putting it all together at this point.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
He was safe in there.
While they were out here.
And then Superman does that little like head nod. Yeah. You know?
And then Lois picks up on it and she's like, you know what? Because Ursa's holding on her. Yeah.
You're a real pain in the neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Punch.
I love how everybody
kills her.
Everybody is vanquished by falling into like fog.
Yeah.
There's like misty pockets of the Fortress of Solitude and people just fall into them and I guess they're gone.
Well, I just like to point out that Lois Lane murdered her.
Well, she doesn't. Well, yeah, I guess she does murder her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they get.
I mean, she was a bad person, and look, she probably killed many Metropolian citizens.
True. Yeah, she destroyed that Coke sign.
But who is Lois to. She's not Judge Dredd, you know? She can't just, like.
What do you think of the legal ramifications of that? Like, is this Fortress of Solitude, is that within a territory? Like, does it.
Well,
is it governed
it's in
by
the North. Kind of... The South Pole?
I'm not sure.
In the Antarctic or the Arctic?
That's in the South.
Who
right?
owns? Yeah.
Antarctica?
No. Yeah.
It's South, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So
who's in charge of that?
I don't know who owns
it. Well, whoever. I mean, the thing is, like, Superman built the Fortress of Solitude, and I assume he got the requisite licenses and permits.
Eminent domain? Does he just walk in there? And
Well, it's not as if it was his.
Good point.
Right?
Yeah.
He threw a crystal.
Yeah. How did he get there anyway? He was a teenager, right?
The crystal found it for him.
Oh, okay.
Right, he picked up he had that crystal in his.
Well, no, but I mean, like when he's traveling in the first movie, he just sort of walks up on a backpack with a backpack. He pulls that crystal out and throws
it.
Yeah. He's
Doesn't
like,
he
well,
follow
I guess this
it?
Is the place.
I thought he followed it. Right?
Oh, maybe he did. Yeah,
he threw it, and it basically took him to Antarctica. So yeah, like Krypton has no claim to Antarctica, as far as I know. So I think he would be subordinate to any laws or regulations that are applicable to Antarctica.
Okay.
That would be my assumption.
Okay, which I'm assuming because he's sort of a Boy Scout, I'm assuming he looked into those.
Yeah, you have regulated. To assume that he got the permits, the licenses, you know.
Yeah.
He had everything inspected. And it's good.
The Fortress of Solitude is up to code.
Yeah, sure. One would assume.
Can you reverse this power-losing chamber?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's reversible.
All right, good.
Okay. You have enough... Is there enough clear space for cellophane emblems to be thrown around?
Yeah.
Do you have a really uncomfortable-looking bedroom?
Yeah,
I do. I just have a bedroom.
It's like a silver parachute that has been...
This is my home as Superman. All I have is this big open room in this bedroom.
In the bedroom.
That's it.
I am Superman, and I know what's happening. I am Superman, and I can.
Anyway.
So anyway, that crystal. Here's my beef with that crystal.
Okay, here
we
go.
The green crystal that he uses.
It's not kryptonite. It's not kryptonite.
It's not kryptonite, but it's green.
But it's green.
All the rest of them are clear.
Confusing.
He uses it in the first movie to find the Fortress of Solitude and build the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
He uses it in the second movie to restore his powers.
Okay, cool.
Remember, like, he's sitting...
So he slide it in there, right?
No, I think he just picks it up.
Okay.
Like, and I don't think anything is said about it, but I think it's like he's sort of huddled
there. Oh, right.
He's,
it's just like
freezing in the Fortress of Solitude, and it's like completely dark, and then he just sees the green light pulsing.
Yeah.
It's almost like a beacon. It's almost like, hey, dude, when you messed up, come to me.
Yeah.
And so he presumably gets his powers back somehow using that.
Yeah, we don't actually see it happen, right?
Right. Yeah, he just shows up again. Now, jumping ahead to the fourth movie, because the third movie is in a plane all of its own. The fourth movie, he has an interaction with another super villain character.
The Atomic Man?
I think it's what they called him. Yeah, Atomic Man. So in the fourth movie, Luther finds out Superman's going to throw atomic weapons into the sun.
Yeah.
Or this is another great thing. Like, at no point is Superman's plan ever actually communicated to the people. He just says he's going to get rid of nuclear weapons. Now, Luther somehow deduces
he's a criminal man. He's the greatest criminal mind of our age. All right,
good point. So he rightfully deduces that Superman's plan is to round up all of the nuclear weapons in a giant net. Space net and hurl them into the sun.
Space net, yep.
And so he manages to package a little attachment to one of them that includes a strand of Superman's hair and a bunch of other stuff. I mean, it was sort of like when the Cobra made Serpentor, when they like stole DNA from Ivan the Terrible and all those guys, and then I don't know, sunk it to the ocean
or
something. So anyway, this Atomic Man comes out of the sun, and he's got powers that can rival Superman's, and he like scratches Superman's chest and infects him or something.
Right.
No explanation there. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
But so Superman is sick and he can't fight.
Yeah.
So he goes back to the Fortress of Solitude, and
he
listens to his mom again, and she's like, or I think it's his mom, and she's like, well, there's this green crystal.
Yeah.
It can only be used once. You can only use it once.
Well, maybe he would down to the last use.
Oh, okay. So is it like three?
Yeah. Okay. You get three or four uses out of this thing. You're on the last one.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my long-standing beef with the green crystal.
I don't know if we could go in detail on three and four, because I have, my memory is so vague. Like,
I love three for the comedic value alone.
Like, yeah.
As a kid, I would rewind parts of that movie over and over again to watch them.
And it's responsible for the scam in Office Space, right? In the movie Office Space. Michael Bolton references Superman 3. He's like, I'm basically doing what he did in Superman 3, right? It has Ma Fratelli from The Goonies.
Who does she play?
She's a bad guy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, wait, that's not her.
Isn't it?
It's close, but it's not her.
No, is it not?
Yeah, the woman who turns into the robot at the end. That's not her. That's not Mama Fratelli.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Are you sure?
Totally.
I've gone my whole life thinking that's her.
It's not. Looks like her. Yeah.
Wow.
How about that sequence, though?
Oh, freaked me out.
What in the hell was... I don't even remember what that thing was supposed to be doing. Maybe it was supposed to be like Skynet. It was like controlling all of the...
Well, basically, a bunch of computer chips covered her.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
and
they turned her into like this cyborg.
Robotic.
Yeah. That was a terrifying scene.
Was that Richard?
Scene.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It scared me, like literally scared me as a kid.
Yeah.
What was Richard Pryor?
He was like a computer programming genius.
But was he responsible for that robot part? Did he make that happen?
Well, he built the machine. He built the overall machine, that giant thing that apparently controlled missiles or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a nebulous plan. I love how, and this is what they go to. Like, they take over, they control like a weather satellite or something. And they like make a bunch of money off of coffee. And then they're like, okay, well, now we're going to take over oil. Okay, next thing, we're going to build a supercomputer that controls every missile so that... I mean, I guess they were doing it so that they would rule over everyone. But
this reminds me of I don't know where I read this, but there's someone had a real beef with the movie version of Lex Luthor's his various schemes are almost always real estate related.
Yes, I've seen this. Yes.
In the first movie, he wants to blast California off of the map, right?
Yeah.
And then make it.
And well, then he has a new coastline. All of his property is now coastline. Yeah.
And then in Superman Returns, he's.
He creates a new.
What does he do?
It's like an island, basically. Yeah. Like he uses. Doesn't he use the crystal?
Yeah. Oh, he might use the crystal.
Oh, my God. That damn crystal.
That's out of uses. No, it's wedged between. That's happened before Mama.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It's before
L, Mama L.
So it's just the third
last
use again.
I guess that's the last name, right? Kal-El, Jor-El.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Ma-El.
Ma-El is like, you got one use left. But that's okay, because in Superman Returns Superman happens didn't before happen. That.
Yeah, good point.
Well, Superman Returns, I thought Brandon Routh was great as Superman. Maybe the second best Superman.
I remember being kind of upset that he was chosen initially when word got out of who it was, because I feel like I had somebody else in mind that I thought was perfect for it, you know. But he did such an incredible job.
He did a great job.
So great. Everybody in that movie does a great job.
Well, I don't know that Kate Bosworth does a real great job as Lois.
Really?
Yeah. I found it somewhat of a forgettable performance.
I think she does a good job being the cast off, you know.
Yeah. Like, well, I really like what they did with Lois and with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that James Marsden did a great job in that movie.
Yeah.
I thought Kevin Spacey was not good.
No.
Because I felt like he was simply trying to be Gene Hackman.
Yeah, and the difference, I think, comes at the end of that movie when he really starts taking it to Superman.
Yeah.
He is intensely mean at the end of that movie. And it was unexpected, and I think it works.
Well, see, I don't know. I think it because you're used to Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor and Kevin Spacey evokes it throughout that film, it tonally it just was like a sudden shift that I just didn't get.
I get that. Yeah, I see that. But I think it's important because you need to feel like Superman is technically in danger.
Well,
I did too.
Here's the problem.
And
the problem inherent in this is that once again, kryptonite.
They're relying on kryptonite. Yeah.
And they're on this dumb floating kryptonite island.
Yes.
And then he somehow lifts the kryptonite island.
That I go with it because it fits the overall arc of the movie.
All right.
You know, the storyline of the movie is Superman went off. He's been missing for years because he went off to find Krypton.
Sure.
Or what he thought was like a segment of Krypton that was still around.
Right, something.
There's
he went back to see if Krypton was really gone.
Yes.
That if anything was left.
He had some or something led him to believe or compelled him to go back there.
Yeah.
And so the embodiment of his rejection of Earth is Lois. Like, she is feeling scorned because he just left.
Yeah.
You know? And at the end of Superman Returns, he's literally throwing Krypton away. Mm. Like, he is...
All right.
So, I admit it is sort of dumb when you just look at it on face value. But taken in that context, it sort of works with the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's why I let it go.
Okay.
And it's again, it's not like they don't really belabor it, you know. They just sort of do it, and then it's done.
I think the best, what I liked most about that movie, was when Lois was in danger. She's like drowning in that.
Mm-hmm.
What was she in? The ship?
It was in his yacht or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
Her and her son, right?
Yes,
are both like drowning in this ship, and you're basically waiting for Superman to show up.
Yeah.
And that door opens up, and it's her husband. It's not Superman.
Yeah,
that is an incredible moment.
Yeah.
And, like, what I loved is that at no time in that movie do they take the easy route of, like, her husband's a jerk or her husband is uncaring or absent, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he's a good guy. He's there for his wife and his kid, right? So you can't just easily be on Superman's side. In fact, you're not on Superman's side because he did leave.
Yeah.
And he's somewhat stalkerish he's in this movie.
Yeah.
but he, and it ends with this note of like, that guy is going to protect Lois as well as Superman ever would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or at least he's going to go to any length that Clark would go.
Yeah.
To protect her.
So Superman can basically treat her like any other citizen now. He's not sort of beholden to her because of his own personal feelings.
How did you feel about Super Kid?
You know, I didn't even care. I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I'm glad they handled it with as much subtlety as they did.
I'm glad it was, I think the reason I don't care I don't care about it is because it's such a brief moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it only really happens the one time.
One scene, I think. Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, okay, you the audience now know this.
Right.
Right.
The only reason that it affects me at all is because at the end of the movie, when he's hospitalized with Superman, I sort of felt at that point that they have led us to a point where Superman is no longer necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So he thwarts Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
He gets rid of the threat.
Mm-hmm.
And we've established that there is a successor with superpowers, right?
Right.
Superman no longer is needed in this world.
Right.
And I thought it made sense then that he would leave this world. Mm-hmm. You know, he was going to die.
Yeah.
And I was somewhat frustrated that he didn't.
Hmm.
But the movie works for me, so I don't consider it a bad movie.
I don't think it's a bad movie, but I do think it fails in some respects in terms of I didn't have the awe or the excitement that those early Superman movies had in terms of Superman stuff, right? Him fighting or doing amazing things or what have you, you know? It was all kind of like, and it's hard, especially now, to pull something off that seems new or incredible because the superhero movies now, it's like, there's so if it doesn't,
things happen on such a scale or have happened on such huge scales
that it's hard to make it interesting anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's where that movie kind of failed for me, was in the Superman aspect of like doing things that only Superman could do.
And I don't think you're alone in that. I've heard a lot of people say that, you know, like his one really impressive act is like the space shuttle thing or whatever. And then he doesn't do anything for the rest of the movie.
And the space shuttle thing is just kind of an echo of the airplane scene in the first movie.
Or the helicopter.
Yeah. But he also saves an airplane
some
point in one or two.
Yeah, they look out the window.
He's like, I'm the engine.
I've got your wing. Yeah.
So Man of Steel comes out soon, and the full trailer came out recently, and I was wholly unimpressed by it personally. But it's funny, on one hand, I think it's a really good trailer as far as trailers go, in that it doesn't tell you what's going to happen. It gives you sort of what you want in terms of Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here he is, right?
Yeah.
It has a nice little arc to it, as just a trailer, but as a Superman trailer, I'm just like, I mean, I was already unsure, or I didn't have a whole lot of interest in this movie because Zack Snyder directed it.
Yeah.
And I've only seen one Zack Snyder movie that I've liked.
Yeah.
And so I that's already kind of a barrier. And then the trailer just, and I'm apparently in the minority. Like, there's people.
Really?
Yeah. From what I've read, like, people love the trailer and they freak out. Huh. A lot of people are really into the scene where he crouches down and flies away. And I'm like, I've seen that.
I don't even remember that.
there was nothing new about that.
Yeah.
As far as, like, someone flying. It reminded me completely of Neo in The Matrix.
Huh.
But like, I'm obviously withholding judgment. Like, mm-hmm. I can't judge the movie. I'm judging the trailer.
Yeah.
Trailer doesn't look that great.
I am just not interested in another brooding.
Yeah, neither am I.
Hero, especially not if that hero exists in the world,
yeah,
as we are, yeah, supposed to,
right,
assume, you know, right, based on all of the feelers and everything out there. This being a Christopher Nolan production, yeah, and the pressure, I guess,
and
that's publicly
the,
on DC to make a Justice League movie.
And I think they recently announced, I think, a date.
They are doing
that
an official
2014 or early 2015, there will be a Justice League movie.
Okay.
And they got a lot of ground to cover.
They got a lot of ground to cover, but it's...
I don't know why every superhero has to be gritty now.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense for Batman.
Yeah.
Even if I don't think it was executed all that well.
Right.
But it made sense for that character, because that character's been gritty since the 80s.
Yeah.
In the comics. But Superman... In my opinion, and I'm not saying Superman has to be like happy-go-lucky, you know, sunshine and rainbows all the time or anything, but to me, Superman is a beacon. Like, he is the light, mm-hmm, of the DC universe. I mean, he gets his power from the sun, right? Like, I know I'm making really literal comparisons, but it, you know, Batman's the Dark Knight.
Right.
Superman is the light in the DC universe, and so I want his storylines to reflect that.
Yeah,
in some sense, that he is he can be amongst the, you know, the grit or the grime, mm-hmm, or what have you, but he should elevate people. He should, yeah, elevate those around him because he flies. He should be. You see where I'm pretty good here.
This is great. Yeah,
he should be.
Have you published this?
Not yet. I know. He's justice. He's truth, justice, the American way, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was his tagline for a long time. And I don't want him to be like goody two-shoes Superman, but he should be striving for that. And his story and his universe and the tone, to me, should not be brooding emo Superman.
Yeah.
And that's what it looks like right now.
It does. Well, it just looks too close to Gotham.
Yeah.
You know, the traditional depiction of Gotham. You know, it just looks too, there's if he is coming from the same background as Batman is,
yeah,
there's no point in even having a Superman.
Exactly.
Really, you know? If there is not any differentiation in their approach to helping people
or their growth as characters,
right?
Yeah. You know,
yeah, I don't know, but I do think it will be interesting given that, so that they are building to a Justice League movie,
right,
in the same way that Marvel built toward,
yeah,
an Avengers
we
movie
think.
Presumably
it actually still remains to be seen,
right? But that is the assumption,
yeah,
on pretty much any front that,
yeah,
that this is what,
and they're not
trying
dissuading
to
that assumption,
right? Yeah, they've alluded, they've done,
yeah,
nothing to
say,
lead us to,
like,
believe that,
no,
they're not
this,
going
these
in that
are
direction.
Separate.
Yeah.
Like, they're not saying anything, as far as I know.
So what happens? Marvel, all of the movies leading up to the Avengers were successful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, critically and public reception-wise, they were, it was not,
yeah,
it wasn't like a constant build,
right.
You know, one was more popular and successful than the other.
Yeah.
But they all made money.
Yeah.
They all did well enough that people wanted to see further things.
Yes.
What happens if Man of Steel comes out and completely and tanks?
Yeah. I don't think it could, though.
No?
No. I mean, it's got the pedigree that it has is so strong. Christopher Nolan's name on the movie already kind of seals its success financially.
Yeah.
In opening weekend, right? Zack Snyder is really popular. When he's had one Sucker Punch was his own thing. Like mm-hmm. It was, I think, of the one time he didn't adapt something. Mm-hmm. And that was a failure from what I understand. But 300 was hugely successful.
Did he do Watchmen?
He did Watchmen.
Did that do all right?
I think that did well. It didn't. I don't think it was a failure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Dawn of the Dead, I think, was a pretty...
That was successful. That
pretty
made
successful.
A lot of money. Yeah.
So I think Zack Snyder... People, they're a snack. There are Zack Snyder fans out there who are like, yes, yeah. I want to see that Superman movie. So I think Superman will bring money in. I don't know how DC could screw this up. Mm-hmm. With Superman and Batman, I feel like those are given successes mm-hmm. financially, which is all they need, right?
Yeah, to they justify.
Yeah, yeah, to give the Justice League. It's the other characters. If they even do movies for the other characters that are going to mm-hmm. make or break their success or the trajectory to a Justice League movie, possibly. I mean, and Green Lantern's already flopped.
Yeah.
The Green Lantern movie came out. People didn't like it.
Did they cancel the sequel plans for that? Because I don't know. Talking about them. But.
So the funny thing is, like, right now, Justice League relies on Superman and Batman, and the only proven thing at this point is Batman. Mm-hmm. Superman could be horrible, right? It could. It probably won't be.
Yeah.
It'll probably be really successful, but it still could not be. But they're relying on the assumption that Christopher Nolan will make a good movie for us, right? To say, yes, we're going to make a Justice League movie.
Yeah. Or that Zack Snyder will make a good movie.
But so Green Lantern failed. And depending on what their roster is for mm-hmm. for Justice League, Wonder Woman, they did a TV show that failed. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see a Wonder Woman movie, but I, for some reason, don't see that happening.
No.
There's John Jones, the Martian Manhunter. I'd love
to see a movie. I'd love to see a Martian Manhunter movie.
The Flash.
Yeah.
They could do a movie.
Yeah.
Green Lantern, I think, was their best bet out of that roster to like make an exciting...
There's so much potential.
Yeah. Sort of Iron Man potential in as much as... And they kind of went that direction, too, with the character.
Oh, totally.
But in as much as like this was an unknown property for the most part to the public.
Publicly, yeah.
That could have... exploded, you know, and they totally botched it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wondering what they're gonna do. You know, I wonder if the Justice League is just gonna be like, you know, Superman and Batman, now here's five other characters.
We'll get you up to speed on these other people.
Right.
Yeah. What if the Justice League movie mm-hmm. we're really going off on mm-hmm. a speculative thing, but maybe the way they do that suggestion.
Yeah.
They incapacitate Batman and Superman, and you have to rely on these other
thing is, the Justice League comic, when it started, did not have Superman. Just they were not in the Justice League.
Yeah.
The Justice League was used to popularize other DC characters.
There you go. Instead of being the culmination of the DC cinematic universe the way Avengers was. Yeah, this is how they introduce all these characters, and then they get in their
own movies. I just realized this. The other thing, and remember, we're spoiling everything in this podcast. So if you haven't seen the Batman movies, you might want to turn it off now.
Yeah.
But Batman is dead.
Right.
As of The Dark Knight Rises. The Batman that people fell in love with in the past, you know.
You mean like
10 years.
Characters in Gotham or fans of the movies?
Christian Bale. Oh, yeah. No, fans of the movies.
Okay, right.
That Gotham hates Batman. He's a villain. fans of the movies are like, Christian Bale, yeah, it's all cool.
Yeah.
And he's gone. He's not going to be Batman. He won't be in the Justice League movie. So right now, and who knows who will be Batman in a Justice League movie. Obviously, everyone is assuming that Joseph Gordon-Levitt will, but that's certainly not a given.
It's not a guarantee, yeah.
So they already have a wild card with Batman.
It's true.
Let's talk about Batman.
But to hear that conversation, you're going to have to tune in same bat time, same bat channel for part two of our DC Cinematic Universe episode.